Hello and welcome to the Dad Podcast. I'm your host, Justin Worsham. Back once again is the wonderful Jackie, a.k.a. J.K. Coy, author of, the last time we talked to you is when your book, Love You to Pieces, Beautiful Monster, came out. She's got a new book, which we'll eventually talk to. But first, something that I just discovered as we got on the line together, Jackie, is you are... What do they call it? A pseudonym? A pen name? Is J.K. Yeah. Coy. And how did that come about? I assumed like it was like in IMDb and acting that there was another horrible person named Jackie Coy who was writing maybe not, you know, delightful children's book, but something awful like, I don't know, senior porn or, you know what I mean? Like something just that nobody would want to read about. And so you're like, well, I don't want to accidentally be mistaken for Jackie Coy. And so right. I'm going to go J.K.
Yeah. Well, I mean, coincidentally, those are my initials. It's Jacqueline K. But also, since I write humorous children's books, or I like to think they're humorous, J.K., it kind of works. It's kind of a little funny.
They are humorous. They are humorous, but it is a weird thing. Listen, I paid mortgages being funny, and yet I would still – I have a hard time going, I'm funny. Because it always, it's when you do that and you say, I'm funny, then it makes it easy for other people to just be like, I'm not that funny. Like, or, you know what I mean? Like, I don't know. It's such, so subjective, but.
Right. Well, the JK works with just kidding, or yep. If you want to be literal, it's my initials. So
it works either way. Remind me of your husband's name.
Ben.
And you guys met in college, if memory serves. Am I right?
Yes, we did in Michigan.
In Michigan, that's right, in the Mitten. And how old, you have another child, a son, or is it already a daughter?
We have a daughter, Wynn, uh-huh. who is 20 months. And then we've got another daughter on the way.
That is due January 23rd. I just learned before we cracked the microphones, a day before yours truly's birthday. So I don't know if you want to just go crisscross applesauce or something just to, you know, maintain. I'm just saying it's good to be in a cusp Aquarian. I think it's worth the wait in, if you can. Or I guess
I'll work my magic. My husband did not want our last one born on leap day. And so I was able to wait till the day after. So maybe I'll be able to work this one in your favor.
Did you really go like pioneer woman and just labor up for more than 24 hours?
Yes, I went into labor on leap day, but I didn't have her till the following morning. So
hold on, I don't remember this part of the story, or and I'm sorry, but let's talk about how assholeish your husband is. We're not talking baby number four. This is your first child, and he's like, honey, if you could just hold on, like, what did he do? Give you a stick to bite on or something? How wait a day?
Yeah, no, I think he went to sleep. He said, work on it.
No. He said, if you could just hold out, I'm going to sleep for a leap day because it's not a real day. So right. Therefore, I don't need to wake up and you just don't have this baby this day. Wow. You got to ditch this guy. I know I told you this before. I do remember. You got to get rid of this sandbag of a guy.
He's not that bad.
But he's pretty bad. Give us an update. So now you're almost... You got an almost 2-year-old. You guys aren't messing around with this crank. Is baby number 2 your final one, or are you guys going for a litter? What's your objective here?
You know, California's expensive, and I'm just a little bit south of you, so you know.
Yeah, you're an even more expensive area here than I am, yeah.
Yeah, I'd have to get another job, and so we'll just have to see about that.
Yeah.
Two sounds good for now, but once we found out it was a girl, then I was like, maybe we'll go for a third.
Well, what is Jerkosaurus Rex, Mr. McCoy? What is he? Does he have any rules on this? Is he also laying down the law on that? Is he saying we're going top minimum 4? Or is he tapped out?
I don't know. I think he, you know, a son would be great, but we'll have to see how 2 goes first.
Oh, Jackie, yeah. You got to be careful. If you need me to talk to Ben, let me know, because you got to be careful. I've seen so many people walk down that path where you try to seize the day of a gender. And the next thing you know, you're a Brady Bunch without the mixed family, if you're picking up what I'm putting out.
I know. And I think that right there is what prevents him from being totally 100% and going for a third.
Like every time you're out.
Just don't know.
Every time you're on a walk and you see like, you know, 3 kids walking and 2 are in a double stroller and it's all girls. And then those youngest one is a boy. Like that's too frightening to go 5 deep and then have your boy.
Yeah, I don't think we could do that. I'm not made for five.
Here's what my wife kind of did this with the girl. She was like, you know, oh, I kind of like to have a girl. And our story was is that the stupid ultrasound tech told her that she thought it was a girl because it was so hard to find my son's penis, which, by the way, that's a lose-lose. You know what I mean? Like, what if this comes out? Like, what if I have a few too many bourbon pops, you know, and he's 28 or something, or at his wedding, I give a speech and I go, you know, we didn't know he's a boy because, you know, the lady couldn't find his penis. So good luck with that. You know what I mean? Like,
well, you know, you're putting it out there right now. So,
well, yeah, because
somebody's going to tell them.
This is a podcast. So this is what I do. I ruin my kids' childhood and their adult life by putting things out on the internet that I say extemporaneously, like just off the cuff, and I let it live forever. I'm really doing a great job. It's a bang up thing I'm doing. Feel free to write.
Kids would say my dad is the worst then. But.
Yeah, exactly. That's true. Yeah. So I just don't understand how this is a win-win for her to say, you know, normally when we can't find the penis, usually means it's a girl. Like we'll do that math. Like, you know what I mean? Like, don't state the obvious. These people need to get better training because I feel like there are more horror stories with them than there are TSA people. You see what I mean?
Like, right, about getting it wrong?
Just
a lot hinging on that.
Right. It's they're equally important gigs that are kind of like, they fly under the radar as far as expectation, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But
they have a 50% chance in their line of work.
Thank you. How hard can it be? And just wait it out. Just wait it out. Don't commit. Act like it's a trial. Don't commit until you have, you know, we're not talking about reasonable doubt here. I want to know absolutely. I want a unanimous jury selection of saying, yes, that is a penis. Not an umbilical cord that he's wrapped between his legs, so therefore we can't tell if there's another appendage there. Which, you know,
well,
what? I'm going to backpedal on for any. Go
find
ahead.
Find out early.
Yes.
Or did you wait till 20 weeks?
Well, here's what we did. We did for the first one, I was really obsessed with having everything be old school. I wanted it to be a thing where I don't even know why. My dad gave me this advice of finding an old school OBGYN because he said that then you can, otherwise they'll just like schedule it. They'll schedule your birth whenever it's convenient for them.
Right.
So I was like, okay. And we lucked into that. He was the guy who's like, I don't like to do that. He goes, baby comes naturally. And it's sad because that guy since passed, but he was a great OBGYN. But anyway, then I said, well, let's be surprised. I go, because it's our first kid. And then, you know, and then, of course, because it's our first kid, we go in there and they find, like, I think it's a half, not even one, like, but they find a half or one of the markers of the seven markers they look for to see if a kid possibly has Down syndrome they find in my kid. And so they said, here's the thing. We have to disclose this to you, but I see here on the paperwork that you want to wait to find out the sex. There is a small.
Well, now you don't want to wait. I mean,
exactly. He said. He goes. There is a what looks to be a very small blockage in the flow from his kidneys. I can't remember what the name of the tube is or whatever. But anyway, so and they said, and that is one of the markers for Down syndrome. But he said it's very unlikely. And he said, but it's also very common with a specific gender. So if you do a search about this thing, it will ruin your desire for a surprise. For this particular kid. And so we're like, okay.
You could not win in that scenario.
Yes, exactly. I had zero win-wins when it came to determining the sex of my child. With the second one, the lady's like, you're having a girl. Oh, it's a boy. So I got to be stressed out in the beginning and then excited. And then my wife got to be excited and then sad in the second go-round. Because she thought she was having one of each. And it was like, oh, that's a great, nice match, blah, blah, blah. And so, so we eventually, on the drive home, we just opted to, like, just, we were thinking about it way too much, so we called the doctor's office back, and I said, you know what, forget this, can we just find out? And so I put it on speaker, and they told us over the phone.
Oh, wow.
Is how it worked out, and so that's how we got surprised. Did you guys know going into the other one, too?
We did find out for both. For me, I definitely waited until the 20 weeks. Not, I know they can tell you long before that, but I didn't want them to be wrong.
Yeah.
So I wanted to make sure everything was fully developed. I had some friends where they found out early, and then they found out it was the other gender, and I'm like, nope, I'm going to wait. So
my favorite story,
hard to wait.
There's a comedian I know named Jimmy Pardo who has a great podcast as well, and he has this great story he told on a show that where they thought they were having a girl like the whole time. And then their OBGYN happened to be on vacation when she went into labor. So now they have somebody they don't know delivering the child. And so they were there. The baby comes out, and they go, "Oh, it's a boy." And then he said, "No, no, it's a girl." And then she goes, "No, it's a boy." And then the nurse like knew them from like the pre-plan, birth plan, and all that stuff. Goes, "No, no, it's a girl." And so the doctor said, "This is literally the easiest part of my job. This is a boy. I'm 100% positive," and holds the naked kid up. And they were like, "Oh, crap." Because they had, you know, pink everything and,
right.
and the clothes and all that stuff. And so they had to start all anew.
You may be the doctor, but what do you know? Our so, picture told
exactly,
us.
Exactly. Yeah. No, somebody
was.
Else who didn't see the genitals of the child already told us what it was. They saw a very grainy image that looks like a black and white duck race. And they were able to determine the sex of the child with almost certainty. Much better than your 20/20 vision can handle here in this bright light of an operating room or labor delivery. So how are things going? So it's been, I want to say, what's it been? Has it been a year or has it only been 8 months or something since we talked?
Yeah, it was January. I was looking back. Yeah, we talked in January.
Yeah.
So not quite a year.
Anything exciting in, with the little one? So you're at 20 months. You're not even close to potty training, or is it because you have a girl, like you're already done and she's like, she's already designing a room and planning to move out, planning for her driver's test?
It's funny. You mentioned that about potty training. I mentioned some of it on our Facebook page, but we started potty training last weekend. Yeah, it's not going so well. We had some high moments last weekend, but apparently at daycare she never did it once this week, so we're still potty training. We'll see how that goes.
Yeah, you're not.
I mean, she's young, so.
Yeah, you're not beating yourself up or anything, are you?
No, but we just, you know, we have the second one coming, so I figured we'd give it a try. And
right.
She talks about pee and poop all day long and toilets, so I figured she was into it. So,
and you know who,
I thought we'd give it a try.
You know who ruins this for everyone is those damn Chinese, that because they can right. they can get a child potty trained in like, what is it, 3 months or something, or
with
six?
Like a little bell.
Yeah,
bring a little bell.
It's a mix. I've heard a bell. I've heard what's the other one? I've heard that the other thing they do is they just don't wear diapers ever, that they have the old school
right.
like you know, coal miner, gold miner, gold rush guy, bottom flap, long john underwear. And I've seen
Which
images
is cool
of them
if you
holding
have dirt
them
floors.
Yes, exactly. or they're in a park and I've seen videos of them just holding a kid over a trash can, and that's totally normal, just to let a kid dangle and pee in a trash can, and then you put the flap back up and you move on with your life. And you know, everything must be, I'm probably being racist and unfair accidentally, but it's this thing where it's like, everything is so zen there that even their kids like pee on demand, or they just have a sense there's a disturbance in the force.
Right.
Like, I want to see honest to goodness statistics.
It doesn't feel proper down there anymore, so.
Yeah, and then I felt bad because we were recently at SeaWorld down in San Diego, and I walked by an Asian couple who was changing. They were doing the public diaper change, which I'm not against. You know, as long as it's not at a restaurant, you know what I mean? If you're at a park or a theme park, obviously, and you're not food adjacent, I don't have a problem with it per se. It's not,
yeah.
It may not be my move, but I might be saying that completely forgetting the 1800 times I did it when my kids were that age. But I walked by and there was a splash of newly wet splash underneath. And because of these stupid videos I saw of people holding them over a trash can, my assumption was that maybe they're just a little more liberal with their urine and feces, that maybe they just don't, they're not uptight about it. And they say urine is sterile for a long time. So just why is everybody uptight? Who's going to be licking this pavement anyway?
I hope somebody is on live and is going to step in and teach us what we're doing wrong.
Well, so far, all we have is my ever faithful listener on this Saturday, Stephanie. She's at work, and I don't know that she is qualified, unless she's working for the Chinese embassy. I think she is not qualified to weigh in on such issues. But here's the thing that I learned, and I don't like to get up on a soapbox with other people and their parenting, but this isn't me saying this is what you should do. This is me just here kind of giving you a virtual pat on the back via Skype, is that, and you sounds like you're already there, so to not stress. We spent a lot of time stressing, and he was like 3.5 with my son before he was finally completely diaper free. But we did all of the tricks we could think of, you know, where we made incentives and everything. We offered a toy if he could do it. Like, if you do it for a 2 or 3 days straight, you could do a toy. Like, you will go and you could pick out anything you want, kind of a thing. And and it was nothing. And then all of a sudden, one day, my wife was literally changing. And then he got to the point where he would be embarrassed that we'd be changing a poopy diaper. And he would get frustrated and upset. And I would get frustrated back at him. And he would be like, he said, "I don't like this." I go, "Well, how do you think I feel?" Like,
I go, "I'm
I'm the one knuckle deep in your waist here, buddy. Like, I think if anybody should be upset by this, it's more me than you. So maybe we use both of our discomfort as a motivation to go over there and make our boom booms in the potty. How about that?" And one day, my wife was changing his diaper, and we had the second one already, but he was very little, and he said, "You know, I'm not a baby. I'm a big boy." And my wife didn't even like mean it. It was just one of those tired things. I don't think she was trying to guilt him in any way, shape, or form. She's like, "Well, you're almost a big boy. Like, you're a big boy when you use the toilet." And he's like, "What?" She goes, "Well, big boys, they use the toilet. They don't have a diaper. That's like big boy level." And then like, and she was about to put on his new diaper. He said, "Nope, no diaper." And she was like, "What?" He goes, "I want underwear. I'm a big boy." And so she's like, "You sure?" He's like, "Yeah, okay." And she said, "All right." Boom. He had maybe an accident or two, but it was like months away. Like, he had slip ups.
That's awesome.
But it was like literally like just flicking a switch, which was frustrating for all of the, you know, marbles in a jar I'm putting and all the candy and toys and stuff I'm trying to figure out. I'm ringing a bell. Like, you know,
at the end of the day, it has to kind of be on their time, right?
Right.
Like all things.
Exactly. So I think it's not a bad idea to try and introduce it when they're two. I've had multiple friends who have done the thing where it's like, "Well, we got the other one coming, so that way we're only paying for one set of diapers and changing one set of diapers." And, you know, more power to you. Maybe it's because you have a girl. You'll just bang it out and it'll be no problem. But it's not going well.
Yeah, I'll let you know how it goes.
How far into it are you? You guys a month in, a couple days, what?
No, a week. So we did it last weekend where we stayed in and like no diapers for like 72 hours at the house, which is torture for the parents.
Yeah.
It was definitely worse for us in my mind than for her. But yeah, it kind of stunk because you can't go anywhere because they're going to have accidents and they're going to pee in their car seat and all that fun stuff. So yeah, my husband and I, we just kept making excuses why one of us would need to leave the house. "Hey, I've got to go run an errand. I've got to go to the store. I've got to go do this," because we were just so stir crazy by the end of it. So.
Yeah, got a little cabin fever.
Yeah, not good at sitting home for 3 days straight.
Do you have to stock up on supplies like a disaster prepper when you do the 72-hour quarantine? Or
like food or like cleaning supplies?
Anything. Anything and all things. Like it just...
Well, no, because you separate and go run these errands. That's okay. Your excuse to leave.
That's it. And then is there any kind of, was there turmoil between you and Mr. Coy about how does this go down? Like, he's getting to leave all the time and leaving you behind. Was that ever an issue?
No, I think we both knew we were doing it. It was kind of like the unsaid, but we were both going crazy. So we just let it be. Let the other one go when they needed to, so they didn't go crazy.
And it's been so long since I went through this. Is she doing the thing where she hides?
No, she does this thing where she runs to the potty like every 5 minutes and says she needs to use it. And then she'll sit down for 1 second, jump up and say, "I'm done." And like then 2 seconds later, pee on the floor. Because she won't sit long enough. Like, she knows she needs to do it, but like she won't sit. So it's frustrating.
About...
All the messes are in like a 2-foot radius of her potty.
Yeah, because you've got a toddler on speed who can't sit still. She's a shark. If she sits still, she's not breathing. She's not getting oxygen. It's unsustainable.
Exactly.
Yeah. It gets better. I know that's not what that phrase is necessarily supposed to mean, but it does get better. And I say this because I hope it doesn't go this way for you. But there was a listener to this show who literally, I don't think she even knows it. She sent me an email. And it was funny because it was one of those things that at the time I didn't know the impact it would have on me or had on me, so much so that I wish I would have saved the email so I knew her name. But there was a listener where I was talking on the show about how hard it was when we added the second kid. And you know what? Let's do this. Let's take a quick break and then I'll come back and tell that story. And then we can also talk about your new book, My Mom is the Worst, which I can't wait to go into more. If you want to find some like-minded parents, a great way to do that, if you like this show, you like the humor of the show, if you're crazy enough to think that I'm a halfway decent parent, then what you should do is join the Staying Frosty with the Dad Podcast fan page. It is an independent, you can like us at facebook.com/dadpodcast, but this is independent of that. This is only fans of the show, and they, you know, you'll find great funny memes about whiskey and parenting there. You could go there. In fact, somebody heard me on KFI here in Los Angeles talk about if you want a group of parents that don't judge you. And it was so great to watch. I just got to see this guy come in and go, is this a place where I could come and talk and not be judged? And Hot Moms Club Jessica was like, yeah, whatever you got to do, get it out. And it was so great because it was like watching somebody walk into a virtual room and almost like an AA type thing. And they go, come on in, man. Just come in and share. And everybody's cool here. It's run by our very own Butcher Drew.
All right.
And so all you got to do is go there, join, and he will get you on. I'm sure he has to click something on his phone. I'm not involved in the running of it at all. It's all listener-based. I will go in there from time to time and check in. Our sex and family therapist, Rachel, chimes in. She posts articles there, too. And Dr. J also pops by to answer questions and stuff. It's a great place to find a community if you feel like you don't have one where you live.
I'm in love with the shape of you. We push and pull like a magnet do. Although my heart is falling too. I'm in love with your body. And last night you were in my room. And now my bedsheets smell like you. Every day discovering something brand new. I'm in love with your body.
Maybe I shouldn't be. But we were talking about this. I was going, hey, Jackie, what kind of song would you like to come back? And she's like, Ed Sheeran's been playing a lot. I'm realizing that I have an unintentional gift of playing inappropriate songs, given the topic.
Perfect.
I think the last time we were talking about feeding your kids and stuff like that, like food that is good for them. And I played Bruno Mars, That's What I Like, which is talking about like sex by the fire. And now I'm having a quasi-intimate conversation with a mom from Orange County that I've never had talk with. And I'm playing a song about a gentleman who's in love with the shape of a woman's body. And I don't know why.
Well,
I don't,
thank you, Justin.
I don't. Yeah, exactly. I don't know if it means I secretly have a crush on you, Jackie. And
in my 7-8-month-old pregnant body.
Yeah, exactly. Here, let me do this because it happened to me again. Where I'm going to leave all this in, but I think that Skype started doing a little clicking on us again. So yeah, there we go. We fixed it. We fixed the clicking. So to get back to it, evidently, even though you're 7-8 months pregnant, I believe now. Now, if my math is correct, that makes it even weirder because you have a shape.
That's true. I have a very
you have
very
a shape
right now
that makes it more fetish oriented than it does cute. I think is the unfortunate part. I've also said a lot of horrible things about your husband. I'm just not doing a very good job of hosting this show. I think is really
an interesting date night with he and I tonight.
That's right. You guys are going out. This can't be your first date night since the first one, right?
No, gosh, no. I mean, we made a second one, but it's been a while since we had a date night. So,
and do you guys have family? What do you, to watch the little one, or do you do babysitter? What's your move?
No, I had to actually hire a babysitter. All of our family is in Michigan.
That's what
so
I thought.
They won't
okay.
be back till baby two comes.
And by the way, Stephanie said she's not qualified to answer questions about Chinese culture because she's in the retirement business is what she does.
That sounds like the safe answer.
Yeah. Well, she was also listening earlier today when I was recording an episode where Dr. J said that the highest cases of syphilis are in the retirement community homes. If that's where there's a huge surge of those. Anyway,
you know what? Someone actually who works in those homes told me that same thing, so it must be true.
Yeah, it's gotta be. Well, yeah, and listen, I hope if I am so unfortunate to be a widower at that time, I hope I'm banging around, and who cares if I get an STD if I'm in my 70s, you know what I mean? Why not just have a little fun, let my freak flag fly? But back yep. to you, Jackie. Is so what's your usual plan? What do the coys do on a date night?
Well, on this fantastic year of author salary, we are doing this date entirely via gift card. So
nice.
We have a gift card to Seasons 52 and a gift card to the movies. So that's where you'll find us.
What is Seasons 52? Is that like a steakhouse or something? Or
oh, you guys don't have those in LA? It's a restaurant. Everything's like fresh and delicious. It's not just a steakhouse, but yeah,
we might not have them. We might have them in LA, and I just
it's
don't
probably
go
too lowbrow.
Yes, I'm a little. Here's the thing: you're thinking of me. I know that I put out this air of sophistication when I do my dirty, filthy Chinese jokes on the show. but in actuality, we're more white trash princess and king is what we are in this household. We don't.
Buffalo Wild Wings.
Yeah. We'll go.
A nice date night.
If we're really living it up, we go Outback Steakhouse, Jackie. Every once in a while, we'll enjoy. This family enjoys a good old fashioned cedar plank under their salmon.
Your wife is a lucky lady.
When he's
I heard she was a hottie because I listened to the ladies from Naptime Radio and we're talking about her. So
yeah, my wife is smoking hot sometime. and she likes a blooming onion. That's how you nail down a little thing I like to call a catch, Jackie, is what she.
Yeah, you got one.
So seasons 52 and a movie. What movie are you going to see?
I don't know. Wonder comes out tonight, but we'll have to see what else is available. But
I like it. You guys, you seem like such. Here's the thing. I like hanging out with you. We've only done it. And this is our second time. Ironically. Oh, no. You said you've had a second kid. In my mind, you had two date nights. And I said, this is funny. I've hung out with you just as many times as your husband has. Since you've been. But no, it's is that you guys seem to have a very chill vibe about your family. Everything is, you know, nice and calm. When we go out, my wife, though, has a very specific sense of humor, hence why she thinks it's suitable to be married to me, I imagine. But she would like to go see a good movie, but things have to make her laugh. It's
right.
And I don't know if this is a backhanded or a front-handed insult, is I guess the way it should be phrased. When you're married to a comedian and all you crave for entertainment is comedy, I don't know that says probably a good reason why I have a fairly successful podcast and not a extremely successful stand-up comedy career.
well, have you guys seen Bad Moms? Was that any good?
Yeah, we did. That was a date night thing that we did. Because this is, I think, the second year, though. Because didn't that come out not this last Christmas, but the Christmas before? Or am I misremembering?
Yeah, so there. Well, I was actually thinking of the new one that just came out. But yeah, there was.
Oh, it is out. Because I was thinking that's what I thought, maybe it was coming out closer to Christmas, or maybe you're saving another movie gift card for a Star Wars release. I don't know how nerdy your husband is.
Yeah, I think he actually earned that one for giving blood here in Orange County. So we'll see what you can do to earn some more gift cards.
That's great. Well, if it's been 6 weeks, he could go back and drop another couple pints. I mean, come on.
Totally.
How committed is he to this? Just act like it's a child trying to be born on a leap day, and it'll be fine. He'll get it done. He'll get it done, Jackie. So you go, because I was thinking my wife needs something a little raunchy. She needs she likes Bad Moms. We went and saw that. She enjoyed it. I don't know how good the sequel is going to be, but I'm sure if we have time off, we will partake in that. Is that usually what the Coys do for a date night, is just a dinner and a movie, and that's good enough?
I don't know. We like to go hiking. We like to be outdoors and be active and stuff like that. So usually our dates take place during the day these days, but
that's good. Yeah, though. That's solid. See, I feel like you guys are really living like a utopic lifestyle out there.
Hey, we're living it up. We came from where you had to stay inside all three quarters of the year.
Oh, that's
so,
right.
You know,
we
really try to make the most of this California weather.
Yeah, it's because it's new and I'm spoiled. That's why I have a vitamin D deficiency from lack of sun exposure, because I'm just like, oh, the sun, whatever. I'm so over it.
We've been here 7 years now. We're not too new, but yeah.
Yeah,
but newer.
Yeah, but you grew up. I'm saying I spent my entire life, not in Southern California, but in California. My entire life I have lived in California. So much so that the idea of living in a different state creates a certain sense of uneasy nervousness, to be honest. Like, I don't know. What would it be like? What if here's the thing. This summer I was very close to moving to North Carolina. And it was this thing where it's like, what if I moved to North Carolina and everything that every other state I've been to says about California is instantly true? Like, where it's like everybody likes the idea of living in California, except for their super strict laws and everybody's kind of uptight and a pansy. Like, that's about, and then you've got earthquakes.
It's expensive.
Yes, it's expensive. But that they in their minds, they always say, well, that's why it's expensive, because it's so amazing to live there, you know, kind of a thing.
Right.
And then what if I move someplace else? And I'm like, no, this place is awesome, because it's great. Like, everything is awesome. They have 8 season 52s here. I could pick any one. They're like Starbucks here in Raleigh, North Carolina.
Well, you do travel, right, with your comedy career. So I think you've probably been a few places.
I have. I've been a lot of places, but I've never lived there, Jackie. I've gone there for a weekend. It's like, you're always trying to save money, so I don't really get to enjoy or live it up. But there's, you need to get into a good rut. It's like, and I always think of it like, when are things the worst? You know what I mean? Like, I was in Omaha during the polar vortex, and I still like Omaha because the people there are great. Like, the people that work at the club and stuff like that, awesome people. So I feel like you gotta, I don't know. Have you ever wanted to live in another country? I'm sorry, I'm getting way off topic, but we'll get back.
But for like a short term, not forever, but yeah, I would love it.
Where would you go if Jackie could go anywhere?
Italy. I mean, I've been a couple times, but yeah, if I had to be somewhere for a little while.
Really? You've already been a couple times. Wow. Easy. Is that where you put pen to paper and write your book in a villa in Italy while sipping some Italian wine and eating some pasta, or?
Yeah, let's pretend. Yeah,
let's
like
walk
to.
Down that path. I know, right? You know what's funny is that my inner fears start going off that I'm accidentally portraying you as some, like, you know, supremely affluent aristocrat who's flying all over the world, when you and I both know that we're just living a family lifestyle. And if you got a chance to go to Italy, you carpe diem that shit and you make it happen.
Oh yeah,
yeah, exactly.
Oh yeah. I mean, before kids, we could do things right on the fly, but. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
We're in a holding pattern for a couple of years right now.
So let's talk about the new book. It's called My Mom is the Worst. You've given me a preview copy, but am I right that it is not yet released?
It is not. Well, we're talking on Saturday, and it is going to be released early this week. So I don't know what day this is going to be live, but
Well, then I will release this because I think it'll be more timely. I was going to release this the Monday after Thanksgiving is when people will hear this. Does that work for you?
It will be out by then. It will be coming out this Monday. So
okay, great. Oh, so the day that I release it will be
the Monday prior to Thanksgiving.
Oh, I see. Okay, so the Monday prior to Thanksgiving. Is that a, well, now you can tell me. Now we're having a production meeting while doing the show. I can even edit this out if you'd like. But we can put this out even earlier if you want.
Yeah.
Let's do that.
If Monday works, then let's do that.
Let's do it.
It'll be live on Amazon.
We'll do a double. I'll figure it out. But yeah, we'll have this put out the week of Thanksgiving. That way everybody can go and get it and then have something that you could, even if you're taking a car trip or you need the kids to have something when you go to Thanksgiving. You order this on the day it comes out, boom, you get your book, and magic is made. Yeah?
Yeah. So, Prime. It'll be there in like a day or two. So, awesome.
What was the inspiration behind book number two?
My Mom is the Worst. Yeah. Yep. The title says it all.
and so is it because you been getting a lot of "you're the worst" from your kid? Is it because she's getting into those terrible twos in quotes that you can't see?
Yeah, exactly. It's just like, so the first book was Love You to Pieces, Beautiful Monster. And that's kind of like, our kids drive us crazy, but mm-hmm. at the end of the day, we can't help but love them. And then this book is kind of the other side of things. This is a toddler. What we do in love, they perceive as just annoying, and us, you know, trying to make them, their lives miserable. Is yeah. sometimes how they see it. So
that's what I like is that the first book is written from the perspective of the parent, right?
Right.
And the second one is written from the perspective of the child.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And I'm trying to think of, it's like this happened today. My wife got up. My kids, they eat a lot of junk. And for a guy who just went through this like big diet, I lost like 28 pounds and I'm learning a lot about nutrition and blah, 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 it's hard for me to sit there and let my kids eat stuff that I've learned that if I eat, it's going to make me severely unhealthy for breakfast, you know, kind of a thing. And my wife, she has different genetics. And so it could be argued that they have this, you know, at least some of those genetics, but I don't know. And so today my wife does a lot of like pancakes and bacon for breakfast and stuff, which is great. But then she'll put like chocolate chips in them, which is makes it, you know, not quite so great. I mean, it's great to eat. Don't get me wrong. But today we had the thing where she's making bacon and they asked for donuts. And I said, but you guys, and she'd bought the Entenmann's donuts and they'd had that a couple days earlier that week. And I've bit my tongue till I was bleeding in the mouth to just go, well, you're not making breakfast, jerk. So you don't get to make those rules. But so, yeah, I was sitting there and I'm kind of like, I don't know how How okay am I with this whole thing? And I said, well, you can't have donuts. You can, you know, because you've had the other kinds of donuts. And then what happens is my wife, while I was out here doing a podcast before I started doing this one with you, she, I guess, she opts for Jamba Juice, which on paper, it's like, oh, it's a fruit smoothie. I guess that's better. I don't know. But then when she says you need to have some your bacon, and then my son immediately launches into a fit about how he doesn't want to have one strip of bacon if he wants to have a Jamba Juice. So I don't know what I'm going to do.
They're always testing us, and they're always making us out like we're the bad guys, we're the worst.
Yes, and I am sorry, but I have to do this, reset this stupid Skype thing again. Hold on one second.
Yeah, I heard it now.
Okay.
Hey, hey.
Hey, hey. Okay, we're back. I apologize for all these issues that we're having with Skype. But, and where was I? Do you remember where I was? I'm horrible at this today, Jackie.
We were just talking about how we were the worst. I was going to
I am also the worst at this. Can you write a book about how I'm the worst podcast host? Do you have that in your... Maybe this episode here could be your muse. And
I'll work on it.
So, yeah, it was this thing where, you know, because you want to, that's what it was. He's eating bacon, and because I want him to eat bacon, all of a sudden, oh, why do you do this to us? And it's really hard as the parent because I'm sitting there like, dude, do you have any idea how good you have it? And I don't feel like they do. I don't feel like they, and maybe it's unfair to expect them. Maybe at 20 months, it's a little unfair to expect them, but I feel like at 6 to 7 years old, that's a good enough age range to start to introduce some perspective. Well, how say you?
Yeah, you would think, but when I came up with this book, people told me that this is a theme that kind of carries on through their teenage years, so I don't know what to tell you.
Yeah, I'm going to try something here because it's doing it again, dang it.
I know.
There it goes. Yeah, wait, yeah. Now it's gone.
Yeah.
All right.
It's gone.
I hope maybe it's in my codec box underneath here. Yeah, that works. All right, so now it's good. All right. This whole Skype thing is really jacking me up. It's really, really messing up my flow, and I apologize that this is happening to you on your day. So here's the point. If you're listening to this now, because I have tortured Jackie so much this entire episode, not only with my inappropriate jokes, but with my technical difficulties, please do not only her, but yourself a favor. And you can, it's available for order on Amazon. If you need to pick up My Mom is the Worst. And then you can even read it to your kid and replace the word dad if you're a dad and you're the worst that week.
Exactly.
And make it interchangeable if you want. But I think as the host of the Dad Podcast, the chances of being the worst, and I'm meaning this not necessarily completely joking, but I think moms have a better shot at being the worst than the dad, because stereotypically dads are the fun ones. Like they're the easygoing ones until they get older. I think maybe when you get into teenage years, and maybe if it's a dad with a daughter, I don't know, maybe I'm overgeneralizing here. Did you ever have any moments as a child where you felt like your parents were the worst, that when you look back, you're like, yeah, that was pretty stupid of me?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think, yeah, definitely. Until you're like out of the house and go to college, I think you, you think your parents are the worst for some reason or another.
Yeah. That's it's interesting how that cycle.
I didn't gain that perspective until I left.
Yeah. You have to leave. You have to go out and do some stuff on your own. And then like I felt it really strongly in my mid 30s. And then when I had kids, was when it really was like, oh my gosh. And I felt like I was constantly calling my father and saying, thank you. Sorry, I was a jerk. I did a lot of apologizing in my mid 20s and a lot of thanking in my 30s so far.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, I didn't have a lot of issues with my parents growing up, but people used to tell me like how awesome they were and how great I had it. And I didn't see it until I left.
Yeah. That's the other thing is that no matter what you do as a parent, you are still the parent, and so no matter how cool you are, it's impossible for the kids to see that.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Exactly. I was just flipping through the book here, and I have a page that I'll share. It says, "And then you make me exhausted when it takes twice as long to do new things because you don't do it for me. It's tough. Sometimes I just want to throw a fit." And obviously that applies more to a toddler, but it's kind of fun if you're actually reading the book, if you get a copy, the words "you make me tough" are bolded.
Yeah.
So it's kind of like a joke in there for the parents. You know, we're trying to make them tough, but they're just seeing that we're ruining their lives. So.
Right. Yeah, they don't understand. They don't understand the concept of learning independence or anything along those lines. I also like where
it's like, why don't you do it for me? Why are you making me struggle? You're the worst.
For me, the most humorous part of the book is when you say at lunch you force feed me beets because I don't remember ever being asked to eat a beet in my entire childhood, and so I don't know if we're too late to edit that out, Jackie. But I think that might get some child protective services if you're force feeding your toddler beets. I don't know what's going on.
We do, but I'm going to tell you, my kid is a weird eater. She likes olives. She likes pickles. She likes salad. Like these are, yeah. So
go ahead.
Beets is actually probably like a treat. She's weird.
So here's the real thing, though, is that kids like whatever it is that you don't think that they will eat. You know what I mean? Like whatever you're prone to. Like I've wrestled with this recently because I do a lot of the cooking in my house, and so I will make a chicken dish that's just some simple seasoned chicken and some broccoli, and or I'll make like a stir fry, and they'll be like, oh, this is okay. But it's like everything, all the vegetables that they do like and enjoy, but prepared slightly differently, maybe, right?
Right.
But then meanwhile, I will make a small portion for them because it's mainly for my wife, and I every once in a while I do a dinner that's like four adults that I want them to try to kind of expand their palate. And I made a lemon butter basil. It's like zesty lemon basil grilled mahi mahi is what I made. So it's like a butter sauce that has some garlic and butter and some basil in there. And then you put I put zest of the lemon too, but you're supposed to put just a little bit of lemon juice. And you kind of let that simmer while you stovetop, cook the chicken, the fish. Those kids wolfed that mahi mahi down. They
really?
Just devour it. Yes. And so as I predicted, this is the reason why I'm telling that story for anybody who's new to this episode, but knows the history for the now all of you do, is that I've recently made the same exact fish and they're like, oh, fish. I was like, I will choke you because it's been 2 weeks. It's been 2 weeks. 2 weeks is an adequate time to reset a palate.
Yeah, and I thought like most kids are happy eating the same thing day in and day out if they like it.
Yes, it drives me up a wall. And my kids also like salad.
Fancy kids,
and they eat blue cheese dressing on their salad. Even my favorite is when I joked before about going to the Outback Steakhouse, or we'll go to a Wood Ranch. I don't know if everybody has a Wood Ranch. It's like a barbecue steak joint. And my son thinks nothing of, like, because we let them order their meal, but usually they've run it by us, you know, kind of a thing. And they have usuals. And so one time he goes, I'll have the filet. And I was like, butterflied medium, please, is what he said. And I was like, first of all.
Oh, even better.
Ass munch. You don't butterfly a filet if you're going to have it medium, okay, buddy? Like, just get
it
medium.
That's true. You just ruined it.
And eat it like a person. And it's like, well, my wife then goes, well, I like it that way. Like, so I was like, oh, my gosh. But then meantime, if I make like a grilled chicken or a barbecue chicken or something like that, like, not in the mood. Don't want to eat it this time. But on the same page is when you talk about how you will sing in the car to your daughter. Again, I found those were the two moments that I genuinely laughed out loud during the book. I was like, you force feed me beets. I got a tickle. And then I was delightfully followed up with mom singing in the car because I've only had conversations with you. But I do like the idea of you being the one who's being obnoxious in the car.
Right. Well, everything we do is just to annoy them.
Right.
You know, that's how it is. Yeah.
That's the biggest
that's our goal in life.
Part of their existence. All right. Well, here we can take another break. And then come back with some moment of the week. But before we do, I want to, I feel like I have been so scatterbrained this entire episode. So I want to make sure if there's anything I'm missing about the book or anything that's gone on with you and your daughter or anything else that you want to share with us before we go into moment of the week, Miss Jackie.
No, I think that you hit on it. The book is out next week. I'd love for you guys to get a copy on Amazon, and we're on Facebook a lot over at Stories by J.K. Coy. So
perfect.
Come on over.
Yes, definitely give her a like. And I have also seen you jump in on, if I'm not mistaken, at Staying Frosty with the Dad podcast as well. You'll
yes,
come in
sir.
There and chime in. So that thank you for doing that. All right, let's take another quick break, and then we'll come back and do Moment of the Week.
You made them. You love them. and sometimes you want to choke the living shit out of them. But occasionally, they give you that one sweet moment. This is that moment. Moment of the Week, brought to you by Dad Gear. All your child traveling needs packed into stylish, practical perfection. Designed by real dads for real dads and moms. Don't be the guy with a diaper purse. Be the man with a Dad Gear diaper backpack. Go to dadgear.com and use promo code DADPODCAST at checkout for 20% savings. Made in the USA.
All right, would you like to go first, Miss Jackie?
Oh, sure.
All right.
Sure.
Or you want me to go first? Did you?
No, I wasn't sure if you were ready. No, I'll go first.
Yeah, go for it.
All right. Well, moment of the week. Let's see here. My daughter, like I said, she's 20 months. And so clearly she sees my belly these days and it's getting bigger. And it's pretty cute because she'll check in after daycare every day and be like, sister. And she'll proceed to lift up my shirt. The embarrassing thing is she'll do it in public too. Lift up my shirt and give the belly hugs and kisses. And she also likes to headbutt the baby and, you know, but it's cute to see her interacting already. She's going to be one of those kids that is in love with her sister, but to the point that it's probably going to be dangerous. So I'm going to have to keep a close eye on her for sure. But I think she's going to be ecstatic to have a baby in the house. So
yeah,
it'll be fun to see.
It'll really help. I've had this experience with them being so close in age. It'll be rough.
Yeah.
In the beginning. That's what I started to tell you earlier. It'll be challenging in the beginning. So if you remember my voice, that was what I started down the path. And I think I forgot is that there was a mom who sent me an email saying, I was struggling, and she sent me an email that she came home from work and her husband was asleep on the bed, and she's like, "Where are the kids?" And he goes, "They're out in the backyard playing," and they were 12 and 9. And so she laid down and got to relax. And at the time I had a 3-year-old and a less than 1-year-old, and I was struggling, man. It was no bueno for this guy and my wife too. Like it made it harder for us to kind of stay connected and all that stuff. And I'm not trying to scare the crap out of you in any way, shape or form. What I'm just
you
trying,
know how often we get out.
Exactly. And so what I'm just trying to warn you is that if you do feel that way, in my at least opinion, it is normal. And I had a lot of listeners of the show reach out to me and
well, every stage of independence has been amazing, because I think, you know, that was definitely the inspiration for the first book, just how I had no independence for quite a while. I couldn't sit her down. I couldn't get anything done. I always felt like she was screaming at me. So as much as I loved her, I always felt like if I wasn't giving her 100%, I was failing her. So the idea that someday they will be playing in the backyard together is very exciting.
And what I have heard is that even like the people who struggled the most is that when that younger one hits 2, that's when the weight gets kind of lifted of like the exhaustion. And, you know, you don't feel as tapped out when the youngest one hits 2. That's my understanding of how it goes. So
we're getting close to 2, and this is a really fun age. But yeah, now we decided to add another little one.
Exactly,
in there,
so. Right. You hit your reset button. Right. My moment of the week is actually something that happened last night. I've been doing a ton of working, and I've also been volunteering. I'm the Booster Club president, and I'm on the school site council and the safety council for the school, and I've been, you know, kind of occupied, and it's been kind of built around my kids' lives, but they came in, and I'm going to tell two parts of this story is that because it's a little bit of both of them. I was walking home and they wanted to go to the book fair. We did I don't know if you are familiar with these. Maybe they had them when you were a kid.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Where it's like Scholastic comes and they set up things and you get to get the books that aren't usually in the library maybe or whatever. And so my kids go nuts and we bought a bunch of books. But while we were supposed to go to the book fair right after school, I stopped because there were a couple of parents that are running our chocolate sale fundraiser and I needed to chat with them. And my son,
you're so in at your school.
I don't know. I don't know how in I am. It doesn't feel like I'm in, but I do feel like I'm helping. And that is important to me, to be quite honest, is that I feel like I'm participating and I love the parents that I get to hang out with in the community and the PTA and the Booster Club. And to be honest, I can't encourage anybody listening enough to get involved at that level. It's just a great way to meet people. And because they're all people who, while they might not agree with your parenting style, if you like this show, but they definitely care about their kids and the school, and you find that common ground, and there's some really cool people that are there. Anyway,
do a lot of them listen, or you have to like look the other way sometimes?
Actually, no. Now, here's the thing.
After an embarrassing episode,
I try very hard to make a conscientious effort to not think about the people that I know that are listening, because I have such a loud inner voice in my stupid head of doubt and going, oh, what if you blah, 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 you know, kind of thing. So I try to tune it out. And I feel like the show goes much better the less I think about who is listening, in my personal opinion. So
sorry to do that to you, though.
No, you didn't do it to me. You gave me an opportunity to kind of say. So if you do know me and I say something that you think is inappropriate and is about you, chances are it's not. That's my honest take on it. But feel free to ask me, and I will tell you. But more than likely, it's going to be like, oh no, that has nothing to do with you. But anyway, because one of the dads that listens to this show, who actually listened to the show before I got to the school, and then when I got to the school, said, hey, are you the guy that does the dad podcast? And I said, yeah. I got to have him on the show too. I keep forgetting to ask him. Anyway. So we're sitting there talking, and it was supposed to be just like, hey, was I supposed to meet with you guys? And then they were, because I thought I didn't reply to an email, and then they kind of said, oh, no, it's all good. Everything's worked out. And then we actually had the meeting that I was supposed to have with them right there, and it probably took us a good 10, 15 minutes where my kids were just politely waiting. They just sat there, and a couple of times they were kids, and they said, Dad, can we go? Which always drives me nuts. But they politely waited and while I was doing all this other stuff. So the point of this being that I had another meeting last night. I come home and my wife they did like a holiday thing. They block off a street and it's holiday themed. They have food trucks, blah, blah, blah. So my wife took the kids to that, and I'd been home maybe 5 minutes, and I had the thing of like, oh, I got the house to myself. Like, see if I could do a little Netflixing, you know? And so I just sit down and I hear the car door shut as they pulled into the driveway. And I was kind of like, oh man. And then the kids came in, and it was so cheesy. But they were in such a great mood and having so much fun that they came inside and wanted to tell me everything that they had going on. And it completely jerked me out of my, oh, man, I'm not going to have my me time. And I was so delighted to chat with them for a good 5 minutes. And then to make matters even better, when they give me a hug, I shared this in an earlier moment of the week where I will help them brush their teeth. Like, I floss the older one's teeth for him, and then he brushes because he's 9. And then I used to floss the other one's teeth only, and then he would brush, but he got a cavity. So now I have to go back to brushing his teeth because he's not doing a good enough job. So I'm brushing his teeth, and then after each one, I would hug them, and I dig my chin into their, like, almost their collarbone neck to kind of tickle them. And one is tickled by my chin and just the pressure there inside their neck. The other one is tickled because of my stubble that'll tickle them every once in a while. And so they went to give me a hug, and then they did it to me. Like, they dug their chins, and it was actually tickling me. And so I had each of them on each side of my neck tickling me, and I was giggling like a little boy. And it was one of those moments as a parent where you're completely engulfed by your family physically and emotionally, and it felt amazing. So that was,
and it's stuff like that. That's why you can have the dad podcast and be sarcastic and have that other side, because you know what? You freaking love your kids, and they know it at the end of the day.
Yeah.
And that's where I can write books making fun of my relationship with my kid, because I also tell her I love her.
Yes.
Probably a million times a day.
So, and it's just not as funny.
I think they're going to be all right.
Yeah, they'll be fine. Because it's the thing I think you got to think about, and this is what I tell myself, is that it's not as funny to talk about all the times you said that I love them. You know what I mean? It's
right.
It's very hard to find the humor in that. And it is compelling.
You can edit that part out.
Exactly. Yeah. I trust. Oh, yeah. I've already marked it. But no, I think it's part of the entertainment is that we come here, we gripe, and it's the purpose of the moment of the week to do that palate cleanse. So, so that's our show. You could send me an email, show@thedadpodcast.com. If you want to leave a voicemail, 877-222-8323. Definitely check out Jackie at facebook.com/JK Stories. Did I get that right? No.
Stories by J.K. Coy.
Stories by J.K. Coy. And but the description, the actual link and everything is in the description of this episode. So you can get it there, and definitely pick up the book. My Mom is the Worst. And if you haven't already, you could go a twofer and get her original story, Love You to Pieces, Beautiful Monster, also written by J.K. Coy, a.k.a. Jackie. Did I do that right?
Thanks a lot, Justin.
Oh, I didn't do it right. Dang it. All right. On behalf of the fantastic Jackie, who's going to enjoy Date Night Season 52 and a good old feel-good story of wonder tonight with Mr. Ben. And then after that, that's between you two. Whatever you guys do, just make sure you don't kick into premature labor in some kind of way, shape, or form. I don't know if that's even a thing. And I also know that that's probably not a joke I should make to a pregnant woman.
We'll leave that right there.
Oh, Jackie, you know what? Before I close this, I'm just going to apologize for everything that has happened in the last hour plus. This is Justin Worship saying, hug your kids, up your loved ones, stay frosty, and I'm sorry.